Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Nun Beit, and we're holding right at the Halakha Mishnah at the very top. So we're continuing on with financial arrangements that are considered to be Mipnei Tikkun Olam, which is what our perek is all about, and it only becomes clear what the Tikkunim are as we go on. So another issue would be in a case where a court did not appoint a trustee for Yetomim, and the father died without leaving a trustee, and the kids, they have like a neighborhood guy, a friend that they rely on, and they ask Richie to take care of all of the things for who's going to take care of them. So everything that they want to do, they go over to Richie's. So then, even though this wasn't court sanctioned, and even though it wasn't selected by the father, the din would still be that he has a din of an apotropos. Now, certainly, if the father, and not the best, and even, but even if just the father before he died had appointed a trustee, so mina lem aviyam apotropos, chayav la'aser perotehem. This guy is to take care of the trumas and their maizres in order that they should be able to eat kosher. They shouldn't have any teva. How about an apotropos that was appointed by the father? So then the din is that after they grow up, he has to take a shavua in Beis Din that he did not keep anything that he had access to of their funds and their things. None of it is by him. If the court itself had made him an apotropos, now then he does not have to swear. I was going to explain why this is true. This is all because of tikkunim for tikkun olam. Now, Basha Ulomer, it's exactly the opposite. If he was a Beis Din appointee, so then he does have to be nishba. If the father appointed him, then he does not have to be nishba. And the Gemara is going to explain why would there be such a discrepancy between the two shittot. There's a first thing that didn't make any sense, is that it says in this Mishnah that an apotropos should go ahead and take off trumas and maisras. There's a little bit of a problem with that, considering that the Torah says that the apotropos is not allowed to take off trumas and maisras. So what are we going to do about that? Raminu, what about the Braita? The Braita darshins the pasuk, kein tarimu gam atem. So what do we darshin from that atem? Atem means that only the person who actually owns it. And if you've got a partner who's not in charge of your piece of the action and he takes off trumas and maaseres, that is not considered to be real trumas and maaseres for you. Sorry. Atem velo arisim. Even if you've got a sharecropper, he can't take off from the chelik that belongs to the owner of the field. And here's the killer. Atem velo apotropin. It says beferish. An apotropus cannot take off trumas and maaseres. The probable meaning of this, says Rashi, is it's just telling you the source. In other words, atem. Atem and not these things. Why? Because atem means you and not somebody who's touching somebody else's truma that he doesn't have rishus son. So how do you explain the Mishnah? Omer of Chista Vokasha. Wait. In our Mishnah, we're talking about that these yitomim need to eat. So if they need to eat, then part of the tikkun of being able to have an apotropos is that with the kayach of Beis Din, hefker, Beis Din, hefker, the Beis Din gives the actual food in terms of its legal ownership to the apotropos for purposes of making it kosher for the yetomim. Masha Inkem, what we're talking about over there, atem velo apotropim, which is certainly true midiraisa, but is even true midirabana, where we're talking about lahaniach. Laniach means, you know, okay, so they have it. Now it's a good time to take care of it. It's not your business to take care of their things. If they don't need to eat it, you wait until they take care of it for themselves. V'atanya, and it actually says this beferish in a braita. Ha'apotropin torminu ma'asrim la'achil v'lo laniach. So clearly there's a distinction between whatever is needed for the immediate needs of the yetomim. Now, once we already said what the braita talked about for the apotropotin, it says over there, the apotropotin can be mochrim lahem. They can sell things that the yetomim own, if it's necessary. So they can sell behemot, they can sell avadim, shvachot, batim, sadot, kramim. She's like, it's not theirs. How upright do they have to sell it for purposes of allowing them to have a parnas, an ongoing income that will enable them to eat? So lahachil, aval lo lahaniach. You cannot do it in order for there to be profits that you're going to set aside for them, because you never know what's going to happen to those profits. That's one issue. There's bank failures. Who knows what can happen to anything that is liquid that you're leaving around. Or the other approach is, anything that Yitomim have is considered to be Shevach Beit Avihem. And anything that comes from the actual family is considered to be part of the chashivas of their life. And therefore, it's not just the monetary value that's important over here, and you can only touch their things if it's actually necessary for them to be able to get along in life and to have what to eat. Umochrim lehem. Now, you're allowed to sell for them things like peirot or yenot or shumanim, uslatot, all of these things you could sell, but also not for purposes of banking the income, but lahachil, avulo lahaniach, and you're allowed to actually sell in order to make for them a lulav, an arava, sukkah, tzitzit, chodavar sheyesh lo kitzva. If you're going to be buying something that has a clear cut, it's a one-time kind of thing that I need to do. The kid needs tzitzis, I can buy him tzitzis. Chodavar sheyesh lo kitzva, what is chodavar sheyesh lo kitzva coming to add? Even a shofar. If they want to blow their own shofar and they get used to the cash shofar, then fine. That's a one-time expense. And that means that when necessary, you could buy them a Sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzot. And this category of v'chol davar sheyesh lo kitzva comes to include even a Megillat Esther, latuye Megillah. But things that are endless. Now, everybody knows what's endless. Mishulachim. So if you're going to have them give tzedakah, then that's going to be the end of their money, because there's always going to be another guy coming for tzedakah. So that you don't have any right to do. So ein poskid aleihem tzedakah, ein podim aleihem et hashvuyim. If there's an emergency, somebody was captured. This is like the most popular kind of tzedakah, but it's endless. There's always new commitments. V'lo kol davar she'ein lo kitzva, and this category comes to include tanchumei avelin. So you cannot come to them. There's all kinds of hotzaot that are done for avelim, and that you can't ask them to pay, because unfortunately, there's always new avelim. Ve'ein apotropin rishaim ladun lachov or lizkot b'nechse yetomim. So now these apotropasim cannot go to court on behalf of cases for the yetomim, whether it is in order to lose or whether it's to win. What does that mean? Says, what do you mean? To win. Why can't I go out to win the case for the Yitomim? I understand. Isn't that advantageous? I mean, what are we saying that you can't go to win? We mean you have to wait till they grow up and, you know, whatever the case. I mean, if I can make money for them now. No, what it means is Ella doesn't mean you cannot. It means you can't lose. That's what it means. It means Lachuv, if you went to court in order to win, and you ended up losing, the judgment doesn't stand. That's the point. So why would anybody go to court? Enochinami. They wouldn't. But if they insist, no, somebody is so sure. And he says, I mean, the apotropos says to him, look, even if you win the case, you're not going to be able to execute the case. You're going to have to wait till they grow up. And we may win. I know, but I believe that it's important to establish that all of this talk that they have, the ki'ilu, that I'm the one in the wrong, I want the court to make the decision. So Lemaisa, if he wants to, okay, fine. I mean, it's not much of a din if he knows he can't win. He can't actually collect. But fine, if he wants to, so then the apotropasin actually can go to court on the benefit of the yitomim. But they can't lose. They can't chov. In apotropin, rishaim limkor berachok v'legol bekarov. Now let's say this estate has some land that is in a different country, very difficult to get to, or is far away from the fields that are closer and more accessible to the Yitomim. So this guy feels, let me sell that piece and I'll buy an equivalent piece which is more convenient and closer, right? I mean, you can't go wrong with that. Or how about if they own a piece of land which is poor quality land and it's always making trouble for them? So I'll sell this and we'll buy a smaller piece of land that's easier for them to deal with and so on. So let me be mocher bira'a and goel b'yafeh. The lashon of goel, by the way, is a borrowed term. It actually means I'll buy. But because in the whole sugya in Erechin, remember what we're always talking about over there is pidyon. For pidyon, the lashon is geula. So can you sell a field in one place? You want it to be poda field in another place? That lashon we borrow here in the terminology. But don't let it confuse you. It simply means a sale. Now the question is, why will we not allow an apotropos to do something which is clearly beneficial? My taima. Well, because it isn't clearly beneficial. In the event that things work out poorly, let's say, you cannot take into consideration random events, right? So now you're going to go ahead, you're going to buy a field, and that field is going to end up getting damaged by the weather or by flooding or whatever. So who do you think is going to be responsible that everybody's going to come to? So that's not for you to do because it's not in your hands to know those kind of things. Leave it up to the situation that it is now. Better don't act. They want to act. They can take those kind of chances on their own. Ve'in apotropin rishayim limkor sadot v'liknot avadim. You can't sell real estate and instead buy avadim because the real estate is always a more valuable asset. But you could sell avadim to buy real estate. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, no, you can't do that either. Haflolim kor avadim v'likach sadot. Why? Even though it's a more real property, so my taima, because dilma lo meshafyan. Remember that even though you're 100% right, that in the event that it turns out to be all A-okay, you're certainly better off having a field that might get wind damage than an eved that might have a heart attack. I mean, come on. So why can't you do it? Because the point is that you can never be absolutely certain that the deal is going to stand up long term. How do you know that in another 3 months, somebody won't come forward with a lien like the type we've been talking about that you weren't able to find out about it? So therefore, you can't be sure, says Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, even about a real estate purchase as an apotropos. So in other words, for an apotropos, it's really necessary either to be able to cross every T and dot every I, or it's necessary to be an emergency situation where the people need something to eat, and therefore we have a right to take chances. Ve'in apotropin, rishayim lo etzi avadim l'cheirut. And even though they are in a position where they're not going to lose anything, it's talking about over here, let's say the Eved has his own money because somebody came, you know, one of these woke people, comes along and gives them a lot of money to prove his liberalism, and he should go, Amanat She'el Rabo Rishuspo, you know, and he goes, and he's willing to pay a lot for it. Okay, I mean, if you're willing to pay for your own, so you would think, oh, why shouldn't I be allowed to do it? Because he is not the owner. In other words, the fact that he has rights to engage in certain issues as if he is an owner does not mean that he's really an owner. And in order to be able to give a shichrur to an eved, you need to really be the owner. Ah, but what's very cute is, but you do have rights to engage in business activities as if you were an owner, right? Okay, so then let's say you sell it to another person, which you have a right to do. Now, once that person gets the purchase because you had rights to sell, he can let the eved go. It's fascinating. Because in a sense, you're selling something that you really don't own yourself. And nonetheless, the purchaser would be able to actually act out the full role of the owner. We've had issues like this before, remember, where we were talking about the rights to the work of an eved that you're buying from the shavoyim, that kind of thing. Where because once you have those rights, so now it becomes yours, in terms of the actual kinyan aguf. V'ein apotropin rishon lo hotzi avadim l'cheirut, but mochrim otam la'achirim, and then the achirim are motzim otam l'cheirut. Rebbe, the same achok that we had before, l'gabit gizbor of Hegdesh, where Rebbe says, look, if the Eved wants to buy his own freedom, you don't have to go through two steps. Why would you have to go through two steps? The mechira to the Eved himself, even though that is a shichrur, is the equivalent of a sale and then a shichur to somebody else. So then it would be, Omer Ani, I say, that afu notein demei atzmo, the eved can pay his own value in the event that someone gave him money, amanat she'in l'rabo reshut alav, b'pte shuku mochrolo. It's just selling himself to himself. If you're allowed to sell him to somebody else, why can't you sell him to himself? In the end, however, says the Braita, you're going to have to be mechashevi mahem ba'acharona. You're going to have to be able to show that all of the property that you got at the time of the father's death or at the time of your appointment, that you don't have any of that. And if necessary, you're going to have to take a shvua. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, no, eno tzarich, that you do not, at the end of it all, if there's any kind of question, you don't have to, even though if you're leaving the position, obviously, then you give back everything with showing how this is what you took. Eino sima putropin, nashim avadim uketanim. We will not make, in the Besdin, I mean, this doesn't mean that you can't be semech aleim on your own, if you're one of the people that need help, but we don't appoint an apotropos, either a woman or an eved, or a katan. Because basically, look, the need for an apotropos to get involved in all types of business, painful issues, dealing with things, it's not something that women like to do and are used to do, and therefore it is inappropriate. Same way that we don't have women go to court and say he doesn't want his wife to be mitbaza. The same idea over here. You only appoint people that are used to doing what they need to do in order to fulfill the role that you're giving them. You don't give avadim because you don't trust avadim. That's a different issue. Kitanim is because of their lack of das and judgment. But again, in the event that the father appointed them, I mean, he can do that. A bezdin wouldn't do that. But since he realizes whatever problems are involved, it meant that he took that into consideration and he took upon himself the risks. Now, there was a certain guy who was an apotropos in Rabbi Meir's neighborhood. Now, this guy was selling fields and buying avadim. And we said before, that's a big no-no, because avadim are organisms that can die, and fields are things that are real estate. Velo shafki Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir refused to allow him to do such a thing because it was against the dinim of the apotropos. Now, the following is another very important lesson from Rabbi Meir about religious belief in voodoo. Okay? And of course, Rabbi Meir, being such a big tzaddik, had a dream in which a malach tells him in the dream, Ach v'levach alma, the pasuk, Ani la'aros, I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, want these people to be ruined. And that's why I put it in the mind of this apotropos to make this ridiculous sale. And you come along, v'atalivnot, allow me to carry out the din against this family. Says Rabbi Meir, get out of here. Hey, can you imagine all of the amazing articles that we've had? Oh, the good old Hador had it. It's like, wow. Rabbi Meir says, what, am I crazy? I got a pasuk and a dream, a pasuk and a din based on voodoo? So, afilo achilo ashkach, he paid no attention. Divrei chalomot, lo malin velo moridin. Pay no attention to the dreams, for heaven's sakes. We're talking about dinim in the Torah. Hanu Beitre, there were two guys that, I'm telling you, the satan was really up to a lot of problems over here. So apparently, these people would get into weekly fights that were so disastrous that every day, every week, Erev Shabbos, they got into this awful fight, ruined the whole Shabbos forever. It was terrible. So the Kobe Shimshi Avikam Mintzu Bahadayadad. So what happens? The Rabbi Meir says, look, I got to do something. Okay. So anyway, Rabbi Meir went. And 3 weeks in a row, he came into the house, and he simply stayed there. And what are they going to do? So he was ma'akev them, ikla Rabbi Meir la'asa, and he stayed there the entire time, ben ha'shmosh erev Shabbos, until finally they ended up coming to terms. Ad avid lu shalme. So he hears a voice in the background. Damn it. Remy Mayer threw me out of the house, and that was the Sutton. This was my favorite place. I love it when a plan comes together. You bum, get out of here. Ah, just what a nice Shabbos is for me. So now I'm going to have to move out and find a new place. That's adorable. And who Apotropos? Tavi Bishvavuti to Rabbi Shua ben Levi. This is another case when Apotropos lived in Barnea's neighborhood. No. There were actually other neighborhoods at the time. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi also had a neighborhood, and there was an Apotropos. And this guy was selling.
Where his kever was found.
What's that?
In Mitch Pilser's backyard.
Yes, we've discussed it. Yes. I was there too. Uh-huh. I even went swimming in front, not knowing that it was Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So anyway, there it was in his neighborhood. And he was selling shvarim. I mean, selling actual fields and buying shvarim. And even though that was like really a no-no, based on what it is we were saying about real estate, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi let him do it. He didn't say anything. So, I mean, like, where does he come off believing that that is a kosher thing for an apotropos to do? That's because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he bought into Rabbi Yossi's way of looking at shvarim, the Tanya. I'm a Rabbi Yossi. In my entire life, I never once referred to my wife as my wife, and I never once referred to my shor as my shor. If I would talk about my wife, I would talk about my home. I called her my home. And if I talked about my shor, I talked about my field. Because basically, the centerpiece of that home is my wife. And that's what, she's not just a wife, she's a home. And this shor is my field. What the heck would my field be worth if I did not have the kind of special relationship with my shor that enabled me to have so much produce from my soda? So because of that, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi actually agreed with Rabbi Yossi. Sometimes it's really beneficial to sell the actual real estate, but to have a shor that activates the real estate that you do have. There was another maisa where Ahanu Yatme Davis Michi Gabayahi Safta. So there was this Safta. So it's an old woman that was in the neighborhood. The Besdin had not made an apotropos. The father had not made an apotropos. And the children were very close to this Safta. She was a sweet old lady. And they relied on this sweet old lady for whatever they needed. So, of course, it turns out that they had a cow. And the Safta, this is one of these children books, right? So the little sweet old lady takes their cow to market and sells it. Shakla vizavintini alayo. She sells it for them because she needed to have food to feed them. So the relatives were outraged, and they find out, what? Our poor little nieces and nephews are relying on this sweet little old lady who messes up their life and sells their cow. So they go complaining to Reb Nachman that he's got to do something about this little old lady. So Omrele, they said to him, whoever appointed her? I don't understand. Maya Vidita Dizavna, who is she that she goes around selling our nephew's cow? Omaluser, Reb Nachman, what do you mean, who is she? This is a Mishnah in Gittin. The Mishnah says, Yitomim shesam chweitzo ba'alabayit. The Farish Mishnah, that they have a right and they have a din, even though the father never said so, the Besdin never said so. So what are you complaining? Yeah, we knew about that, but you know what? After she goes ahead and sells the cow, the next day, the prices of cows go up. I mean, that's terrible. I mean, we ought to cancel the sale and try to get a good price on the cow. Says Reb Nachman. Okay, but, you know, the price went up after it was already sold. I mean, you know, it would be wonderful if we all knew the future, but Rishuta de Lokeach Yaker. I mean, it went up afterwards. Why is that? It's not, I mean, what, he's not allowed to make money. Yeah, but Alona Kite Dami, they didn't get any money. They basically gave the cow. She gives the cow to the buyer, and the buyer is supposed to bring money later. And the money hasn't yet been brought. He was only going to bring it at the end of the week. And now the price of the cow has gone up. So therefore, we want to cancel the sale to be able to get a better price. Omar Lahui said, oh, then we've got an interesting situation. Because in that case, said Reb Nachman, we've got over here a situation that was dealt with by Reb Chaniloi Baride Omar Shmuel. Because what he said is a fascinating general rule. Nichsei Yitomim Harehen Kehekdesh. That we have a takana for Yitomim. And that is that they have the same rights as Hegdesh does in property. So therefore, the same way that Hegdesh, if you're Moshe Hegdesh, but you didn't pay, you can only finalize a sale for Yitomim by giving the money. So therefore, since they have that same din, we can cancel the sale of the little old lady because the money wasn't transferred yet. That's something else. It has nothing to do with her. I mean, that has to do with the special takana that the Chachomi made about the mass of the matan on the, for the benefit of Yitomim. Now, there was another maisa where there was wine that was owned by Rabbana Ukva, who was an orphan, right? And the people had bought wine, and they were mashkua. So Charmid Rabbana Ukva Yatma, mashkua, they took the wine into their rishus, and at the time that they took it into their rishus, it was priced at 4 zuz per bottle. And then, Iyaker, the next day, the price goes up to 6 per bottle. So now the apotropicon came to Reb Nachman, and they said, look, the price has gone up, and the price went up, and the Mashiach had already been done, but we want to cancel so we can get a better price. So he said to them, oh, well, it sounds to me like this is another Rav Chaniloi Baridi case. Because didn't Rav Chaniloi Baridi say in the name of Shmuel that Nichse Yitomim have a din of Hegdash? And that the sale is only concluded the way that sales of Hegdash are concluded, which is Bekesef. And therefore, if the guy didn't pay yet, so then Inochinami, you can insist that they give it back. And that they, if they want it, they have to pay the current price. Now, let's just talk about all of the variations of how it is that the Rav Chaniloi Bar Ide is going to apply to different cases. So these are putting all the theoretical considerations together. So let's say Moshuch Peri Miyatme. Let's talk about a case where Mashicha was made on things that the Yitomim are selling, but there was no cash. Then the price goes up. Okay. If the price goes up, that is the classic application of Rav Chaniloi Bar Ide. Wasn't paid for yet. The sale is not complete. And therefore, we can cancel the sale and ask for more money. How about if it goes down in value, right? So now the Yitomim say, well, you know, it's true we didn't get any money, but we're willing to wait for our money. You know, and if we try to sell it now, we're only going to get half of what it was worth then. So, but the guy is coming and he's saying, well, you know, you're Yitomim and I didn't pay yet and therefore I can cancel because the sale wasn't complete. There, we have another idea which Gavi is about to write down, which is, lo yehei koach hediot chamur mehegdesh. It does not make sense that for a regular guy who's not hegdesh, who gets caught in exactly this situation, right? If somebody buys something, stop. Two people from each other, nothing to do with Hegdash. And he did Mashicha, and now he wants to cancel because he can get it for cheaper, right? He can't cancel because the whole takana in the marketplace of Mashicha is that the Mashicha closes the deal without kesef. So when we want to provide this additional protection for Yitomim, it's not to make things worse for them, it's to make things better for them. And therefore, we're not going to make them less than a normal person. A normal person in such a situation would not be able to cancel the sale. And therefore, here, they cannot be canceled by someone claiming that, well, you know, I didn't pay. Well, if we weren't Yitomim, you wouldn't be able to say that. Exactly. So because of that, they're not going to be worse off by being Yitomim. So the Koach, if they were just plain Hedyot, cannot be worse. But now that we've made them better by treating them like Hegdash. Okay, so now we've got the two variants in the case where someone had been Moshech from the Yitomim. How about the other way around? How about the apotropism came and they did Meshicha of things that they were buying on behalf of the Yitomim? That's the other direction. Now it goes up. Okay, Iyaker. So the seller comes along and says, hey, you know, it's worth a lot more now, and you guys never paid. And I read somewhere that Yatomim can only finish a deal when they actually pay, and you guys didn't pay, so the deal's off. I want to sell for the higher price. No. Because in that case, we would say they can't be worse off just because we're treating them like Hekdesh. And that was Gavi's thing that he just wrote down. Lo yekoach edyot chamur mihekdesh. That's exactly it. So if a regular guy, once there's Mashiach, you can't come along and cancel. So if you told me do Mashiach, you can't come along and cancel either. But what about now if it's worth less? And the Yatomim come along and they say, well, we didn't pay yet, so the deal should be canceled because we're able to buy it now at half the price. Why should we pay yesterday's high price if today the sale price would be less? So Sovar Mino, so all of the Talmidim that had heard the original Psak, and they said, hey, we know, this is exactly the classic case of Rabbi Chanan Loibaridi. And therefore, you can actually cancel the sale because they have a din of Hegdash. So Ravidi said to them, wrong. Why? Because if the whole point over here is remember Tikkun Olam, we're trying to make life better for these Yatomim, you need to look at things from a broader perspective than your multiple choice questions on your test, boys. And over here, there's a much broader perspective. The ultimate impact of dealing with this along the lines of Reb Chanan Loibaridi is going to make life miserable for Yatomim in general. Why? Because imagine a case like this. They need to buy something, right? So if they need, no one is going to give them anything on credit. What, are you crazy? I'm going to give you something on credit. Then, if the situation is going to be good for you, you'll cancel the deal. Meanwhile, I could have sold this stuff to other people. Get out of here. You come, you pay, you get. You don't pay, you don't get. Can you imagine what's going to happen to Yatomim who can never buy on credit and can end up with a disaster? So because of that, let's make them suffer the way they would be if they weren't Hegdash, so that there will be credit available for Yatomim. So they have to be the ones who take the loss in this particular case. Now let's take another case. These Yatomim gave money. Now we talked about the two possibilities of Mashiach. Either people were Moshiach from them, or they were Moshiach from others, and then we have the two variations. Price goes up, price goes down. Now let's talk about where there was no Mashiach, but there was money. Okay. So now the Yatomim gave money for Perot, and the price of the Perot the next day are on sale for half price. Well, like we said before, lo yekoach edyot chamur min ha-hekdesh. We're not going to penalize them for being Yatomim, and therefore, just like a regular person would have been able to say that, well, I was never Moshech, and therefore it's not mine, so too over here, they could say the same thing. Now, what about if it goes up? The price goes up, and the seller now says, well, you know, they never did Mashiach, and so I would want to cancel the sale, and I'd do better today. So again, all of the Talmidim thought, ah, okay, here's Reb Chanan Loibaridi, right? Because he said that they have a din of Hegdash, and therefore they have a din of Hegdash. You can't pull out just because it went up, and you can do better, because if Yatomim pay with cash, then even if they weren't Moshiach, it would still be binding. Again, Reb Shisha Barei de Ravidi said, listen here, boys, this is not a multiple test, a multiple answer test over here. You've got to be thinking. This is not good for Yatomim. Ra'ahu ledidu. This is bad for them. You know why? Because remember that the entire takana of Meshicha bin Kona is because of the fact that if we allow Ma'os to be Kona, this is one approach, Rabbi Yochanan and so on, but this is Rabbi Yochanan's approach. That the truth is, Midiraisa, Ma'os are Konas. The whole idea of Meshicha is created as a Tikkun Ha'olam. And here's why it's a Tikkun Ha'olam. Consider a situation where people order something on the internet, they give their credit card number, okay? So now they are the legal owners, because the Torah said, once you paid, you gave them your credit card, and therefore, you are the ones who own the $10,000 of Amazon products that you purchased. Now, there's a big fire in the Amazon warehouse. So, Amazon calls you and says, we're really sorry to let you know that all of your stuff was burnt up last night. It's not our problem, because it was your stuff. Did you call the fire department? It's not our problem. We don't call fire departments for everybody in town. But. Okay, so this is the classic situation of Nisr Fuchitecho Ba'aliyah. The warehouse burned down, and it's somebody else's problem. So in order to avoid the SEP situation, we actually made the takana. You might pay for something, but until delivery, it's not yours. So therefore, without Mashiach, you're going to be able to go and get your money back. So therefore, if we make Yitomim different, and we say to the Yitomim, listen, you know, you have a right like Hegdash, and therefore if you bought something, then you can't change your mind either. So it's going to work in both directions. And if that's the case, then if there is a fire in the warehouse, then they're going to lose. So the Iker Takon of Nisrafu Chitechem Ba'aliyah, that you can't do. So in this case, inachinami, the seller is allowed to cancel. Now let's take the other way around. Now what are the cases we've talked about? Meshicha to the Yatomim, up, down, price changes. Meshicha from the Yatomim, up, down, price changes. Utilizing cash from the Yatomim, up, down, price changes. How about the remaining case? Some others pay money to the Yatomim in order to buy. Okay, now let's talk about price goes up. So the price goes up, and the Yatomim say, well, I mean, there was no Mashiach, so why should we have to deliver at the lower price? It's worth much more today. Well, that's true. If we hadn't benefited them, lo yehi koach hedyot chamur mehegdesh, you're not going to treat them any worse than if they hadn't been Yatomim. And so if a regular person who's selling would be able to cancel if there was no Mashiach, so certainly Yatomim can cancel without Mashiach because they have a din, usually a being better. Now let's imagine the case where the Yatomim got money, now the price went down, and therefore the people who bought from the Yatomim, they want to cancel so they can get a better deal today. So again, all of the Talmidim assumed, oh, they can't cancel. This is Reb Chani Loi Baridi, and this is exactly the case you said before. And once again, Reb Shisha Baridi Ravidi shows up, and he says, excuse me, boys, it's not multiple choice exams here. Hara'ahu ledito. Ultimately, this is a disaster for Yatomim. Because suppose they need to sell rapidly, right? And they're not anywhere near the produce that they have to sell. And we need money in order to feed them. So now, nobody's going to buy. Excuse me? What, are you crazy? I don't buy from Yatomim unless they're ready to deliver it on the spot. I'm going to buy and give you the money so that what? That then you could change your mind to get a better deal later. I won't be able to sell. No way, Jose. So they're for Lekha the Yavilu. Who's going to give them anything? Adi Yavilu Peri. They're going to have to deliver. But they can't deliver until next week when they're going to be able to get to the payers that they wanted to sell. So therefore, says Reb Shisha, in this case, for the overall benefit of the takana, we need to allow the cancellation by the purchaser. So as you see, now we're getting into this idea of takanot that vary by the particular situation, which are still tikkun olam. So up until now, we were dealing with tikkun olam that sort of just covered in a blanket kind of way situations. Now we're talking about a detailed analysis of what type of transactions are covered by which particular tikkun olam. Lovely. Marvelous. Now, Rav Ashi says, I got to tell you a story about me and Rav Kahana, okay? Rav Kahana and I, we once signed on a contract that everybody's going to say, you guys are nuts. How could you sign? I'm telling you what happened. So what happened was that there was a contract for sale that was written by the mother of this Yosef, his name was Zaira, And she went ahead and she sold the property of the Ze'ira in order to pay taxes. So the Karga. And the thing that was done wrong, which everybody will say, I mean, it's a Beferish Mishnah and Erechin. Shum ha-Yetomim, Shloshim Yom, wherever there is a sale for Yetomim, you need to have a public auction with 30 days of advertising beforehand so that everyone knows that the property is available for sale. They can come and inspect it exactly the way that we do government auctions today. You can't just sell something and claim, well, I mean, whoever wanted to pay, no, it has to be advertised. She goes in and she sells. And nonetheless, we signed. Why? Because even though this violates the standard sale, but we reasoned that since the Nahar Doi paskened that when it comes to the needs of paying taxes, the karga, and this karga, that was like, whoa, that was a head tax. There was no question. There was no sending in your tax forms and so on. Show us your license of having paid the head tax. You didn't pay the head tax, they take you on the spot. Okay, you can work for the Wagner Group. Great. So anyway, this is an emergency. So head taxes need to be paid on the spot. And if they need to eat, so to take from Mizonot, for the same way, you're allowed. And if you need Kvura, so it's for expenses of burial, what are we going to do? We're going to, okay, let's put the body into some closet somewhere, wait 30 days until we get a good price, and then we'll be able to afford the Chevra Kadisha. Thank you very much. So therefore, any of those kind of things, those three things, Mazbinino will sell on the spot below Achrasta without making a public auction, without any kind of advertising. And I'm telling you, me and Rav Kahana, we signed ourselves on that contract. Now, there was this other guy that had this business. He would dye things, and they called him Amram Tzaba. So he had the dye shop, and he was an apotropos for these Yesomim. And the relatives of these Yisomim, they come to Reb Nachman, and they say, you know, I got news for you. This Mr. Amram, the dye shop guy, he's been dressing awfully fancy since he started becoming an apotropos. I mean, he never dressed like that before. Now he's going around in boss suits, and, you know, he's obviously stealing from the Yisomim, and he's kalavish umikasim yatme. Omar Luzer, Reb Nachman said to them, he has a right to do that. Because as his position was before of Mr. Amram, the dyer, you understand, he's going to appear now on the benefit to argue for the Yesomim. He's going to appear in his filthy clothes, you know, looking all splattered with different dyes and everything. What is this guy, a hippie? So nobody's going to pay any attention to him. When he appears in his boss suit and he's dealing with these fancy buyers and so on, then people are very good. So then people are going to treat him with respect. Well, that's very important, and that's called kiyehi delishtam an mile. In order for a person to be treated with respect in the marketplace, he's got to dress properly. He's got to look good, and therefore he is in fact allowed to use the money of the Yetomim to buy himself a new suit. So, but they said, but okay, fine. You know, you can argue that. But, you know, he's been eating in these fancy Muncie restaurants where you pay $175 for a hamburger wrapped in gold foil, you know. I mean, he is not Amud for that. Now, this is an amazing shot that Rashi says. It is so amazing and so contemporary. The pashtus of the Gemara, when you say velo Amud, would mean that, you know, he's known not to be worth that kind of money and so on. Well, whatever, people know he is not worth that. Rashi says, velo amud, he brings the other pshat, he says, maybe it means what people would normally think it means. But what I think it means is, he doesn't appear in the Fortune 500. So, in other words, the point is, lo amud, there are people that you can look up their net worth, but those are people that are called amud. Then there's people that, why in the world would anybody list the net worth of that schmo, right? So he's in the kind of people that are not Amud. You're not going to find them on the internet. So if you can't even find them on the internet, how the heck is he eating in Muncie? It's a great shot. Lo Amud. So he's not in the Fortune 500. Rashi says it could be. It means what it usually means. Anyway, so how do you explain that? Says Rav Nachman, what exactly do you want? You want me to fire a guy who's doing a job because it looks to you like the only way that he would be able to afford eating in Muncie is because of the fact that he's stealing from the Yatomim. You know, it never occurs to you that maybe he was walking along the beach and he found $500 and he went to celebrate by eating in Muncie. I mean, I don't know. You can't use circumstantial evidence like that. Ema mitziashkach. I don't know. Maybe he found something. You can't fire someone because things don't look right to you. Yes, they said, okay, fine. Even if you so. But the guy's doing a horrible job. Who wants a horrible job? The guy, he's too busy with his own work. He's not paying proper attention to the property. You know, like, I mean, if there was somebody who was a mensch, everything would be much better. Snoop said, Rav Nachman, look, if you can bring me aid that he is actually doing things that are damaging, fine, I will certainly get rid of him. Because the Omer Ravuna Chavrin, my dear colleague, Ravuna, he said, Mishmei Derav, that if an apotropis causes actual damages, then we throw him out. Actually, it's really a machlokas, you should know. De edema. Apotropa de mafsid. Now, when we say the mafsid, the way the Rishonim explain it, it means that he is not chas v'shalom, that he's actually acting with pshia against the property, and he's actually doing things that are bad. It's just that he doesn't really have the time to invest in it, that a person who would maybe be himself the owner. He doesn't do anything bad. He's doing the best job he can do, considering that he's busy working in his factory, dyeing things all day. I mean, So they're claiming that kind of situation is not beneficial. The bottom line is the property is not doing well. And he's being mafsid on that level. Now, that's a machlokas. Whether for that we'll fire a guy from being an apotropos, because even though he's doing okay. So Rav Huna Marav says, even so, we're misalkinly. But the Vei Rabbi Shila says, we're not misalkinly. I mean, remember, this is a tremendous public blow against someone to remove him from apotropism. Ve'ilchata halacha l'maisa, we actually will be misalkinly. Okay, now we had this interesting machlokas in the Mishnah. Who is more likely to require a shvuah at the end of his term of trustee? Someone that the father appointed as a trustee, or someone that the Bezdin appointed a trustee, right? So the Tanakhama says, well, if the father appointed him, then he has to swear. But if the court appoints him, so then he doesn't have to swear. Now, I mean, so what is the logic? Because again, remember that all of this is based on Tikkun Olam. Tikkun Olam means taking into consideration the overall impact on society by these types of determinations, right? Okay. So now, isn't there an obvious downside to making a trustee make a shvua? I mean, a trustee will say, look, I'd love to help out, you know, with these kids. I mean, you know, the father was a friend of mine and so on. But I can't get involved in something like that. I'm going to have to swear. Forget about it. On the other hand, if you don't ask him to swear, you're going to have many more people that are willing to use their business acumen and so on and in benefit of the kids. So long-term benefit, wouldn't you think that you should avoid forcing somebody to take a shvua where there's no clear-cut tvi'ah against him? So my time up. I'll tell you. The truth is, this is the svara of the Tanakhama. The truth is, nobody in his right mind would ever become a trustee for kids. So why is this guy a trustee? What, because he's such a kind person that the father said, look, you know, I have a terminal illness. I'm trying to set things up for my kids. So this guy is going to say, okay, fine, I'll take care of your kids for the next 10 years. Nobody does that. If the person does it, I'll tell you why he did it. He did it because he feels that he's called upon to do it by moral considerations. There were so many things that this guy who's dying, what he did for me and my family, I have no choice. I have to accept. Well, if that's what he feels, then he's not going to pull out because he has to make a shvuah. And if it's not what he feels, he's not going to accept the position anyway. Okay? Masha Einkin, when a Bezdin comes along and appoints somebody, let's see that inside. He loved to eat Lehana. I mean, if he wouldn't feel that he owns a lot to this dying father, lo havi le'apotropos. He never would have accepted the job. And now that you're going to make him make a shvuah, he's not going to pull out. That's not going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back. Let me tell you. Lo ati le'mnui. On the other hand, minu beidin, if a Bezdin appoints him, so then he shouldn't swear. Because, look, a Bezdin people will do, okay, the Bezdin asked, I'll do it for them. But then you're going to tell him, yeah, but you need to swear. Well, I don't get involved in things that I need to swear in. I would love to help, you know. I mean, after all, I'm an upstanding citizen who needs to help out a Bezdin, but not if I'm going to have to swear. So then that is basically going to kill the Bezdin's pool of people who are stupid enough to become trustees. Fine. So there he's just doing a favor. Milta be'amu, David le'beidina. If now you're going to make him swear, so then he's going to be able to say, forget about it, I don't want it. And what's the logic of Abba Shaul? Where Abba Shaul says, chiluf ha-devorim. And actually, if the father appointed him, so then the halacha is that he does not swear. Masha'inkein, if the Bezdin appointed him, then the halacha is that he does have to swear. What's the logic in that? Well, says Abba Shaul, explained to you very well. I mean, Gavi is right up there by Abba Shaul. We could have gone up there and actually heard it directly. So my timer. The reason that if the Bezdin gave him the appointment, then he does have to swear, is simply because people love a good CV. Now, what looks better on your CV than that, yes, I have acted as a court-appointed trustee who have found me to be totally honest, reliable, and excellent of judgment in cases where the poor Yatomim need to be careful. Oh, man, this guy's great. He would be very good for a controller for our company. So it's fantastic. He's got a good CV out of it. You think he's going to give up on a good CV just because we make him swear? No. So that he's going to be, it's not going to deter people from becoming a court-appointed trustee. So therefore, Mishum, since Nafik Alei Kola, everybody finds out, the Samech Alei Bezdin, Mishum Shvua Lo Ati Limnui. It's all right, it's going to take a Shvua now and then, you know. But man, oh man, how else are you going to get a CV like this? Masha Einkein, if the father of Yatomim, now remember that Abba Shaul, of course, lives right up around Gavi, which means it's a whole different kind of atmosphere. People are nice. People care. And therefore, as far as Avi Yatomim, okay, I feel I want to help the guy out. He's ill. So I'll take it on myself. There's no reason to assume, says Abba Shaul, that the reason that he's accepting on it is because of the cynical, well, I owe it to him. No, he's a nice guy. So, I mean, a nice guy that you're going to make a shvuah, that's going to make it very difficult to be a nice guy. So, Iramita le yashvuah, ati le mnuye. Omer of Chana Barabi, Omer Shmuel, Lemaisa. The halacha is like Abba Shaul. People love a good CV, and people are likely to do favors. Tanya, Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov Amir, both of them have to take a shvuah. And according to the Gemara, the halacha is like Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. And Tani Rav Tachlifa bar Marava, Kameh de Rebbe Abohu, Apotropos Sheminu Avi Yatomim Yishava, because he has a din of a Shomer Sachar. So because of that, he is, why is he having a din of Shomer Sachar? Because he's paid. He's definitely paid somewhere or another if the father appointed him. Said Rabbi Abo to Rav Tachlifa, oh, I see. You have decided that he's paid. I assume that you were the one that brought the bank account. You were the one that wrote out the checks. You know that he's paid. Where the heck do you know what he's, what do you mean he's paid? What a cynic. Guy couldn't be a good guy. He's definitely been paid. No, I'll tell you why it says in the Braita. I take Abba v'chayaltale. I understand. So you brought out like the money container, you know, you poured out the coins for him. You're telling me he was paid. Ela Ema, the correct way to understand it is not that he is a Nosei Sachar. He is like a Nosei Sachar, meaning that since he's doing this in exchange for things that the father had done for him, like that Shita, and then therefore, he has to take a shvuah because he wouldn't pull out. On the other hand, this is like the Tanakama. On the other hand, the Beis Din did not get any benefit. So over there, if you make him actually swear, he's not going to do the job.